All right, we're back talking a little college football, Big 12 style. It is one true podcast with Bryce, Tony, and John. Guys, after a bye week, Baylor returns to the friendly confines of McLean Stadium this weekend to play Kansas in a homecoming game. You know, Kansas is kind of the little sisters of the poor. I mean, you know, obviously we're all taking Baylor in this game, but what about the 34-point spread in this one? Is that too high, especially considering that Kansas just played TCU to a point?
Well, I did do a double take when I saw that spread. But, okay, they played a close game in Lawrence in 2011. RG3 had to lead a great comeback to win it. Since then, I mean, it's been like 50-point slaughters.
Yeah,
last year it was 66-7. So I can see why that spread is what it is. And I think it's a little high, but I would not be that shocked if they Baylor covered.
You'll have to make it.
I'm probably going to take them to cover.
Okay.
Just because of the recent history. I don't know what it is. I think maybe because Baylor just has so much speed compared to what Kansas usually has. I think I'll probably take them to cover.
Yeah, I'm with John there. Take them to cover. I'm pretty familiar with this Jayhawks program, being from Kansas, and this is kind of what they do. Is there's one game, you know, especially the last two or three years where they've been so bad. There's one game every year at home where they'll kind of lull somebody to sleep, and they play one or two close, not counting when they play the, you know, 1AA school. They'll lull teams to sleep. They'll play a close game, and then they'll get smoked the rest of the way. You got to think with Baylor, it's homecoming. They haven't played for a couple weeks. They're healthy. They're jacked. They've been listening to, you know, 2 more weeks of people just dogging Baylor in the media all, for good purpose for 2 weeks. And they're going to be pretty geeked. It's going to be a great crowd. I think Kansas is really, 34, 40, 50 points. Who knows how bad they're going to get beat. It'll be ugly.
I'm basically with you guys. The one thing I will say is that, you know, we have just witnessed Baylor beat Oklahoma State by only 11, beat Iowa State by, three?
Three.
You know, had to come back to win that one. Obviously, that was on the road. And I Iowa State and Oklahoma State are further along than where this Kansas program is right now. That said, I think both the Cyclones and the Jayhawks are starting to have some incremental progress among their new coaches. You know, Matt Campbell's in his first year there at Iowa State. We're seeing the second year for Coach Beatty at Kansas, and they've gotten stronger. They've gotten a little bit more speed. So you're starting to see them play a little bit better. But all that said, I'm still going to take them to cover too. I think the fact that Baylor is coming off of a bye week and is well rested, and as Tony said, really. I mean, they don't really have a lot of injury concerns at this point. They get KD Cannon back this week, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it could be – I mean, this is a Baylor team that when it's clicking can put up a lot of points. And I think Kansas, you know, probably can't keep pace. So let's go ahead then and look past the Jayhawks. We're able to do that here on the podcast, whereas coaches are not able to as much. So after the Kansas game – Baylor has a bye week, another bye, and then comes that backloaded stretch of probably the toughest six games for Baylor on the season. That starts with Texas in Austin on October 29th. So this is your time to play the pick six for the Baylor Bear scratch-off lottery here. What is Baylor's record for those final six games?
I'm going to say 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll probably lose at Oklahoma. I think there's a good chance they'll lose at West Virginia in that final game, December 3rd. I mean, who knows? There might be 10 inches of snow.
They'll be burning couches just to get warm, John.
That's not a bad idea.
That's a good one.
I like that.
Pretty good.
But the other games, I think they'll beat K-State here.
Okay.
I think they've got a pretty good chance to beat TCU here. I'm not highly impressed by TCU this year.
Yeah, they're sort of erratic.
I think the Texas game in 2 weeks is a toss-up on the road. And I think that the Texas Tech game is a toss-up at AT&T Stadium. So I'm just going to split it down the middle, say 3-3.
Okay.
I got 4-2. The only thing I disagree with him on really is I think they'll beat Texas Tech. To me, that's kind of a no-brainer. I think Texas Tech is going to struggle some more. And look, when they're not playing right at home, even in that, you know, neutral environment, you think Baylor's probably going to get a lot of people at that game. I know they will too, but I don't like Tech. I think that Baylor by that point will probably, you know, they'll only have one loss. I think they'll probably lose to OU too, but those other four games, I think they have a good shot of winning. I think they'll probably lose to West Virginia in that finale, which could be for the Big 12 title. You never know.
I'm going to go with John here and say 3-3. Although I agree with Tony in that I am going to take Baylor to beat Tech. I say they lose the three true road games. I say they lose at Texas, lose at Oklahoma, and at West Virginia, those games that you mentioned, John. The Texas game is interesting, and I agree with you that it is a toss-up game. I mean, it could go either way. I think both teams are going to be highly, highly motivated for that one. It's been just a real, it seems like a Baylor versus Texas kind of off season.
Yeah.
You know? And I just think that it could be a really high scoring game, and Texas has shown the ability to score some points this year. The Texas Tech game, I agree with Tony in terms of I think Baylor wins that one. However, you and I have been up there a lot. There will be an equal distribution of fans. I mean, Tech will bring a ton of fans for that one. And they always seem to play Baylor pretty well. I mean,
those have been good games for the most part.
They have been, you know, amazing games, crazy games a lot of times.
Like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, 4.5 hours, you know, 600 yards passing apiece.
That's Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Day after
Thanksgiving. You know, Mahomes and Russell could put on a show. So that one, you know, that I'm saying that one's still pretty close. What Tech can do is score points. You just know they're going to give up points.
You guys have a lot of confidence in Texas, I feel like. Texas's defense is so bad.
It is bad.
Baylor's
defense
is not bad. That's the thing to me. It's such a – I mean, I guess there's – I'm interested to see if it gets in Baylor's heads when they go to Austin. I don't know how really how that's
going
to work.
Well, you know, they've had good performances there, certainly under Art Briles.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like there's been a couple of times in the Charlie Strong era where Texas has been really, really motivated. And when they have been, they've been a pretty tough team to beat. I mean, you know, they showed it last year against Oklahoma, last year against Baylor. You know, now the win against Notre Dame this year doesn't look that impressive.
How funny that a win over Baylor could save Texas this season.
It'd be crazy. But yeah, I'm saying 3-3. I'm saying 9-3 on the season, which in the grand scheme of things is still a pretty good year. 10-2, obviously, would be a pretty good year as well. So we'll see. If we're all wrong, we won't come back to those predictions at the end of the year.
We won't talk about it.
Yeah, we'll just forget about that. Well, speaking of Texas and Oklahoma, the Red River Shootout really turned out to be a legitimate shootout. Oklahoma outgunned Texas 45-40 in that one. It was a really, you know, pretty entertaining game, honestly. Sooners moved to 2-0 in Big 12 play as they kind of try to salvage something out of this season.
Cameron Yeo's, D.D. Westbrook.
Yes, that's right, exactly. Well, and, you know, considering that he had 200 yards receiving, Samaje Perine had over 200 yards rushing, Baker Mayfield had over 300 yards passing, maybe even 400.
I think it was 672 yards of total offense. Well,
yeah,
Texas
crazy.
Gave up.
So do you think that the Sooners have figured some stuff out?
Yeah, I think they have, and I still think they're going to win the Big 12. Yeah, I think they've got a lot of talent. And, you know, obviously their defense still needs a lot of work, but, I mean, really, who plays good defense in the Big 12?
Well, and to me, this is the answer to this question. I think it's more a byproduct of the Sooners getting into Big 12 play where the defenses aren't as good, and that's why they're able to put up some numbers.
Yeah, I think they're going to end up, 10-2? Maybe 9-3, but I think they're going to have a good finish.
Yeah, that O-line coming together, and now with the deep threat passing, you know, you got Perrine and Mixon, you know, that's, if you can go down the field and you can't, and they keeps the defenses honest where they can't stack the box, yeah, watch out. John's right. They're probably a Big 12 favorite now.
Yeah, I mean, they were the Big 12 favorite at the start of the year. I mean, you know, if you end up going 10-2 with losses to Houston and Ohio State, I mean, you know,
not that bad.
Yeah, it's nothing really that shameful. I know, you know, again, last week we were talking about people calling for Stoops' head, which is just crazy. It's a little baffling, but 10-2 would not be that bad.
That's all the inside their pro. That's all inside their fans.
Too. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Their fans are so spoiled.
It's like outside the program, everyone, you know, it's different with outside the program. Everyone's like, you never get a better coach than that. Stick with him; he's amazing. And inside, it's just like their fans just cannibalize each other. It's awful.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I've got a lot of Sooner fans friends because I went to college in Oklahoma, and I remember a couple years ago, one of my buddies, when a Sooner guy got suspended, it was like he took it as a personal affront. Like, he was like, doesn't he realize what this is doing to me? I mean, it was just like, good grief, so calm down. I'm sure, you know, that guy had, you know, didn't have you in his mind when he committed whatever infraction he did. Well, let's move to a different cesspool. How about that segue? Kirk Herbstreit made some headlines this week, guys, when he called the Texas program a cesspool. He criticized the administration there for not giving Charlie Strong enough support. But, you know, the funny thing about that is actually Texas's athletic director, Mike Perrin, and their president, Gregory Finvez, I don't know how you say that. They both recently and kind of repeatedly have given Charlie Strong votes of confidence publicly. So two questions here. Was Herbstreit off base, out of line? And two, is there any chance that Charlie Strong actually returns for the 2017 season?
Yeah, I'm going to say Herbstreit was a little off base because I think they have supported him so far. But, you know, to me, 3 years, at most places, that's not enough.
Right.
But Texas, obviously, they have different standards. And will Charlie be back? I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too.
I mean, you know, maybe if they went out the rest of the year, you know, that'd make them 9-3. That'd be a good year. I just don't think they're going to win out. Their defense is just too bad.
Yeah, his definition of a cesspool is much different than mine. You say cesspool, I think, you know, infractions,
right.
You know, major scandals, this or that. They're struggling to win games. And he is not – Charlie Strong has proven he's not a good fit there. And I agree with John, probably this is it for him. But as far as the AD and the president go, especially with Perrin, it rings so untrue. You got to think, after they lose to Oklahoma State, he's on the field, walking off the field. Reporters are coming up to him, and he's – what's he saying? Everything's going to be – they're asking him if his job's in jeopardy, if Strong's job's in jeopardy. He says everything's going to be evaluated. Everything's going to be looked at. Then he's standing in the back of his press conference the next week like a principal watching a teacher who's about to get fired. You know?
Yeah.
It rings untrue. They can say whatever they want. It's just – it's, you know, it's lip service. You got to think he's totally they're looking at him. They're looking at his job to give him a public vote of support is – it's totally, it rings pretty hollow.
Yeah, I think, as John said, I mean, it all really comes down to what happens on the field the rest of the way. And none of us really think that Texas is going to win out or, you know, even probably win less than one game the rest of the way. I mean, they'll drop a few more along the way. They'll be like 6-6 or, you know, God forbid, 5-7 again or something like that out of a bowl game. And I don't see how there's any way, given sort of the standard at Texas and really at a lot of places, you know, I don't know how you can bring him back just because they haven't shown any progress, really. I mean, they've changed so many coaches. They really haven't found an identity under Charlie Strong. And so I just think, you know, and the fact that, you know, a guy like Tom Herman might be available, I mean, you know, I think they might fire Strong before the season's even over just to get the process rolling a little bit.
You got to think that's a – if he starts losing, if he reels off, you know, two or three losses in a row, that could happen.
They yeah,
could
go, it you know, could. Interim, yeah, yeah. Yeah, certainly, you know, that, well, it'll be a November to remember, or a November to watch there. But we're still in October, which is state fair time. As we mentioned, the Red River Shootout, that always goes around, you know, this revolves around the state fair. Locally, we've got the Heart of Texas Fair and Rodeo happening here in Waco. So my question to you guys is this, as, you know, sports riding connoisseurs here.
So we eat a lot of deep fried food.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I have a deep fried fair question for you. What is the grossest deep fried fair food item you've ever eaten or heard of? And what's the one that you really want to try or have had that's really good?
Okay, now I've never tried deep fried beer,
mm-hmm.
but I can't imagine that tasting really good.
No.
Even if it's Shiner Bock.
Deep fried Shiner, deep fried whatever.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it seems really weird just to even have a liquid as a food. I mean, just the process there.
But I'm going to give you, I don't know if this has ever been tried, but this would be like the ultimate contradiction.
Okay.
At the state fair. Deep fried beets.
Ugh.
Because that's like one of the world's healthiest foods. Then
and
you mix it like with the like the worst way to prepare foods.
Yeah.
To me, that would be the ultimate contrast.
Yeah, the perfect storm.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, my answer actually is the same to both. What is the grossest deep fried food I've ever heard of, and the one I'd like to try the most is actually the same thing.
Okay.
It's Gator.
Deep fried
Gator. And I don't know, I find it disgusting, but I think I would probably, if you put it in front of me, I probably would have to take a bite because I'd be curious to see what it tastes like.
Intrigued, yes.
And it's also, the idea of it is pretty gross to me, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's two for one for me. And I don't like the sweets. The deep fried sweets, that's no good. Snickers.
Oh,
Oreos.
No.
Snickers. Don't put it down.
No, thanks.
John and I, so before Baylor and Tech started playing at AT&T Stadium, they had a game.
2010
at the state fair.
Yes.
It was, the week after OU Texas?
I think so. No, it might have been before. I'm not sure.
Anyway. I don't remember. But yeah. The fair was going on. So we got to partake of some of the deep fried offerings there. And both of us had a deep fried Snickers. And I got to say, it was pretty dang good.
It still tastes like a Snickers bar?
It did.
Yeah, it did.
You got through like sort of the batter and it was like all heated and melty and it was pretty good.
It was the best thing we ate all day.
Yeah. I'm gonna say so that deep fried Snickers, I would have that again, but I deep fried cheesecake sounds pretty good as well. I am a sweets guy.
Man.
So I'm gonna need to head to the gym after this.
All right.